that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. One more time. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated for just a moment. I'd like to talk to you just a minute. And we have a lot of prayer requests here that we would like to ask you to be in prayer with us on. And then we just had a birthday. Gabriel just turned 10 years old. And so we have a tradition, we'll call it a tradition, I don't care what you call it, but that we present a Bible, the church presents a Bible when the children turn 10 years old. And so we missed that last week, and so we want to do that today. So we're going to ask Gabriel if he'll come up and stand with us here. And first, we're going to pray for him first, and then we're going to give him this Bible, okay? Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for not just Gabriel, but for each of the children, Lord, and Lord, for every soul. And Lord, we thank you for young Gabriel, and Lord, you've blessed him, Lord. You've blessed him as a fine, healthy young man, a very intelligent young man. And Lord, we're praying that he would use all of his strength and all of his mind and all of his heart to your service, Lord. Lord, that you would bless him and guide him in all truth. Lord, on that appointed day that the new birth would come upon him, Lord, and bring him forth into your presence, Lord, knowing that he's surrounded by your presence with his family, his father, his mother, and Lord, every believer that's around him, Lord. But Lord, let him yield his life, Lord, fully unto you. And we just ask your blessings upon him. And as we present this Bible to him, Lord, that he would use it, that it would bring him many happy days, Lord, as he reads it, and much wisdom and guidance and thankfulness, Father, for your many blessings upon him. And Lord, we commit his life to you as we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Give you this Bible. We'll shake your hand. God bless you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So we thank the Lord for young Gabriel. And he's a fine young man. And as I said, a very, very intelligent young man. He's a very, very smart boy. And he's coming up. And he's gonna do good. You watch and see. He's gonna do good. And so we thank God. All right, now I have some requests I want to just throw out before you this morning. And one is, of course, we want to remember Brother Richard. He is coming along. Every time you go, every time you see him, he's talking better. He's moving better. And so we thank God for that. And it's just it's always a slow process. But I see some improvement every time. And so I thank God for that. As I was leaving the house this morning, I was talking to my mom, and she said, I told her I was going to church, and she said, well, pray for me. She said, so she asked for prayer, and also for Rhonda's brother and sister. They've came in over the weekend. They left this morning. And so they're on the road now. I'd like you to remember them. And I have a brother-in-law down in Florida who has had constant struggles. They had a house fire a few years ago, and he caught on fire, and he was in the hospital for about a year, and then he come out, but he was just a skeleton of a man. A lot of trials and troubles, and just so many things. And so he'd been out. We got to visit with him last week when we went down, and he was doing better. And then as soon as we left, he went back in the hospital for a few days. So we're asking prayer for him. And Brother Ernie from the Philippines has been reaching out. If you're keeping up with the news, they're having hurricanes there. There's flooding. He sent me some pictures, and you can just see the people. They're wading through they have their stuff, carrying what they can carry, and they're wading in water up to their waist, just walking down the roads. And one of the trips that I went there, I seen it firsthand. The roads are probably the highest ground. Of course, the roads can go underwater too, but we were coming, it was in the southern part of the Philippines. And so when we got there, all of the people were living on the road. And so there's just a little bit of shoulder there. And so there was just enough room for the cars to barely pass through. You had to go really slow because it was just wall-to-wall people, families, all of their possessions just stacked up on the roads. And they put a place to make a fire and cook their food and do whatever you can. And then just everything you could see was underwater. All the fields were underwater. Everything was underwater. And the road was just a few more feet above that. And so I don't know what the rainfall is there, but it's just tremendous. One of the places that I went to there one time, it was a 3.5-hour boat ride to get there. And when we got there, it was the time of year when the water was down, and it was like probably 40 feet up to the top of this mountain. And so we climbed from down here at the water up to where their houses were. And their houses, they float. They float for 6 months out of the year. And so they float up. When the water comes back up, it will pick those houses up. And so during that transition, they're out there day and night as the water's coming out, and they're sliding trees, timbers, bamboos, anything that'll float, they're putting it under the house so that as the water comes up, the house is going to float with the water. And so then they'll float for the next 6 months. And then when the water starts receding, they try to get themselves over on the mountain and not down. And then they have sticks on the ground that the house comes down, and they guide it down. And they try to tie it off, and they land it on these kind of posts. And so they're living off the ground. And, of course, you can see through the house, through the floor, through the walls, everything. And even in the church, they even have a church that floated. And it was raining while I was there, and it was everybody has an umbrella in church because the roof leaks, water's everywhere. And so those brothers are really poor, and they're asking for prayer. And so remember them. I've seen their situation firsthand, and I know that it's real, and I know what they're going through. Then now we have several people asking for prayer and for help in Africa, and so there's always many needs there. We want to remember those brothers and sisters there. And then also we want to ask you to also remember Chico and the girls in Canada. And then last but not least, we want to remember Brother Gumba. Now he's preparing now to travel, and it's going to be a long trip, and it's going to be to many countries. And so we're believing that it's going to be a great blessing, that God is going to just put a great outpouring and anointing upon him and on the people, not just upon the speaker, but on the people to receive it. And so that's the thing that it's going to take. And the scripture, Jesus declared, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." And that's been a misconception. It's, even in this day, a very big misconception. That you, I, from when I first started on the mission field, I had preachers, pastors tell me that, you know, we got to get them to Jesus first. This is Jesus.
That's right.
The revelation of this day is the only thing that's going to get them to Him.
That's right.
You take them back in any other age, and you are not going to get them to Christ.
Amen.
Because Christ is in the living Word. He's not in the Word of another age. He'll never again be a baby in a manger. Never again. He'll never be a Noah on the ark. He'll never part the Red Sea again. That was all the Word of God, and it's all for another day. But it will not save you today. Because every denomination, every church worldwide, they believe those things. And they reject the living Word of the living God in this last day. So it's the only way you will know Jesus Christ today is to know Him in the power of His resurrected Word, which is resurrected today.
That's right.
And that's what we must know. And so anything outside of that, it's just, I don't know what to call it. It's not life.
Right.
It's not life.
Amen.
It was the Word for that day, but it'll never be again.
Amen.
It'll never be again. It's not going to save nobody. No matter how much you say, Jesus died on the cross. That's wonderful. That's good. You got to believe it. You have to believe that. But if you can't believe this, that won't do you any good. That's my point. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
If you say you must believe that Noah was a prophet and everyone that got on the ark was saved and everyone who didn't get on the ark was lost.
That's right.
That's the same thing today. Everyone who gets in today is going to get into this message. And that's
That's right.
Joe, that's a big thing for a little group sitting here when there's millions of big churches with big pastors and education and money and all of that. This is not all of it. No, but there's many of these. And this is how it's always been.
Amen.
You read your Bible, they met in caves. They've met in the fields. They've met under trees. It's always been that way.
That's right.
And then Satan has given people the conception that now it's going to be the big church. It's not going to be. It never was. It never will be.
That's right.
He's never going to be in that.
Amen.
That's not Him. There was no beauty that we should behold Him.
Amen.
That read your Bible. No beauty that we should behold Him. No. Look at the real. Look at David, huh? Brother Andrew said he was a little ruddy fella. Look at Paul. Brother Andrew said, yeah, he had his intellect, but he wasn't nothing. He said, called him a little hook-nosed Jew. Huh?
Yeah.
I guess he's seen his nose somewhere in one of those visions. He knew he wasn't pretty. Huh?
That's right.
So, what is it? It's a humble little group of people scattered around the world. And the beauty of it is, and I love it so much, that it is made up of every nation, every kindred, and every people.
That's right.
That's right. The body of Jesus Christ is made up of every tongue, of every nation, of every tribe.
Amen.
Praise be to God. So we're believing, we're a part of that this morning. And we're walking in that revelation, and we're asking God to give us revelation and get out of every intellectual idea, every carnal idea, everything that Satan wants us to have today.
Right.
And so we want out of that. We just want one thing. We want to walk in the Spirit. We want to walk in the revelation of this day, this revelation.
Yes.
And the thing about the revelation of this day, it's just like it was in every other day. In every age, the people of that day had it figured out. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
They had it figured out. In Jesus' day, they had it figured out. The Sadducees had it figured out. They taught their people exactly what's going to happen when Christ comes. And the Pharisees taught their people exactly what was going to happen when Christ comes. And in every single denomination, the same exact thing. And not one of them was right. Not one of them was right. That's the record. Huh? Those prophets through the Old Testament, every one of them was rejected and put to death. Huh? Maybe not every one of them, but you've read your Bible. You know the rejection, the rejection rate. You know how many were killed. They were sawn asunder. They were beat. They were stoned. They were every kind of way. They were rejected. And the Scripture, we read plainly that in this last church age that Christ was put out of the church. He was put out. And so here we are. Here we are in the same situation. And we're facing the same thing that we were raised up. from birth. We were raised up from birth to believe God in a certain way. We were raised up to believe everything God was going to do, everything that He had already done, everything that He's going to do in the future. We were raised and we were taught, either by our parents or by the church or by whoever we talked to, that it was going to be this certain way. Is that right? It's been that way since the beginning. Nothing's new. They were all wrong, and they're all wrong today. You say, brother, that's you're taking a lot of territory in. That's exactly right. There was, when the prophet came on the scene, there was around 986 denominations. I think that's right. There's probably thousands now. But when the prophet came on the scene, I think that was the number then. That's not counting all the independents and all the other stuff and all the rest of it. 986. How many of them received Him? None. Not one. Not one. But what happened? The Word went forth and He got one out of the Baptist. He got one out of the Methodist. He got one out of the Catholic. He was calling them out. Yes, sir. This message was calling them out. And that's why we're here today. It called you out. Somehow you think, well, I'm just here by accident because Mama's here, Daddy's here, somebody else is here. No, there's no accidents with God.
That's right.
God got you here.
Yes, sir.
He moved this one and that one and this one and that one, and it just and put you right where you're supposed to be.
Yes.
Praise be to God.
Yes, sir.
Let us stand once again. I want to go in prayer one more time, and then we're going to get right into the message this morning. We're already in it, and I have some good quotes that we want to share with you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love You, and we thank You, and we praise You for this great hour. And Lord, for this people here and Your bride around the world. And Lord, we know that it's a treacherous time. It's a deceiving time. It's a time of death. But Lord, for the bride of Jesus Christ, it is a marvelous time. It's a great time, Lord, because the Word has been quickened and made alive. And Lord, we're living in the presence of the living God, the living Word in this last day. And Lord, may You just speak to our hearts this morning. May You take these requests, these that have been spoken this morning, Lord, and knowing that this is a small number, a small fraction, Lord. Many here have needs, Lord. Many of our families, our loved ones, Lord, each one have needs. And You know every heart. And You know the need, whether it's healing or financial or mental or whatever it is, You know it. And Lord, we commit it to You because You are the Master. You're the Creator. You're the Healer. You're the Savior. You're all in all, Lord. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, may You just take this service, the furtherance of this service now, as we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated now. And so I took for a title this morning, The Body and the Head of United. And I've been working toward this. And so I've had a hard time the last few days. We've had company, we had people in, and so I didn't get hardly study none yesterday, and then we had, family was there last night, I didn't get to study much, and so, but the Lord woke me up at 1:30 in the morning, and I tried to study. It's hard to study when you're tired, but I did study some, and then I got a couple hours, and I woke up around 5:30 this morning, and so I had a lot of quotes, but the Lord just kind of put these in front of what I had. And so I got a lot of things here that I'm going to read this morning that the Lord just gave me since 1:30 this morning. And so I'm going to start in the fourth seal, and I'm going to read a bit there. And then I have several messages I hope that we'll get to because we're still talking about the body of Christ. And so the body of Christ is a word body. It's the word body.
Amen.
And so that word body only has one way to express itself.
Yes, sir.
And that's in flesh. So that word, that living word that has come in every age is living in people. And so that body was coming through all the time expressing Christ. That's who it was expressing. Brother Adam said, and that's all the way through. You say, well, He came 2,000 years ago, but He was God before the foundation of the world. And he was slain before the foundation of the world. And so that was Christ in Moses. And that was Christ in Noah. That was Christ in every one of them prophets.
Amen.
It was the Word. Is that right? It was the Word for that day. And some, you know, we used to read those stories and we just think, well, this was just something that just happened by the way. You know, it was just a by the way. No, God was expressing something. He was expressing something that they didn't get fully then. They would get glimpses of it and pieces of it. But now we're able to look back there. And now we've even been challenged. We've been challenged by the mouthpiece of God today that when you read this Bible, Brother Branham said, when you read the Old Testament, and then we know the New, but the Old Testament, if you don't see Jesus Christ in every verse,
right.
In every verse, he said, go back and read it again because you missed it.
Amen.
How's that for a challenge?
Yeah.
That tells you how much revelation God has given this day.
Right.
Everything, all the way through, has been God revealing himself, Elohim materializing.
Amen.
The revelation of Jesus Christ from cover to cover. That's what it's been. And this is the fullness of it now. That you're living in the fullness of it. And it's living in you. It's manifested in you. And it's promised. The scripture, that Bible promised it to be in this day.
Yes, sir.
And the only thing we got to do to get that clear and straight in our minds is we got to wipe out everything that we was taught up until we came in the presence of the voice of God.
Amen.
Wipe it out. Get rid of it.
Right.
Get it out of your mind. Whatever it takes. If it don't line up with this message, then put it behind you.
Yes, sir.
Put it behind you and come to the voice of God.
Right.
God sent a prophet in this day. It's the absolute.
Right.
That's right. And the absolute does what thing? One thing. He brings you back to this.
Yes,
he don't take you to something else. He brings you back to this. Brother Branham said, this is the entirety of the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
You will say, well, then I just read it and get it myself. You can't.
Right.
This says you can't.
Right.
This says you can't do it.
Right.
This says that you can call no man the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. So without the new birth, you can't get it.
Right.
Is that right? That's what he said.
Yeah.
And so it's a revelation. And so he was expressing that way back there in the very beginning when he put two brothers in there by the flesh, two brothers in the flesh, Cain and Abel, and both of them come to worship God, and one of them brought a beautiful sacrifice. It was a beautiful sacrifice. He brought the best. He brought the most beautiful flowers and the most beautiful fruits and the most beautiful everything. And the other one was the first one. Well, maybe the second one. God put skins on Adam and Eve. So maybe the second one to kill a lamb.
Right.
He killed this lamb. There was no death. There was no killing. There was no sacrifice. There was no nothing. But now one of them sheds blood to put on this altar, and the other one has a beautiful sacrifice. Which one did God accept?
Amen.
You know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know. And then the other one is given the opportunity. One was accepted, one was rejected. The other one's given the opportunity now to come up and be received.
Yeah.
And he said, just do what your brother's done. Go get you a lamb, slay the lamb, put the blood on the altar, and I will receive you.
Right.
Could he do it? No, I didn't believe it.
No.
He didn't believe it.
Amen.
Instead, his feelings was hurt. That's what happens all the time in the religious world. You start talking about things that people don't like and their feelings are hurt. They're ready to go to another church. They're ready to go to another place. I told you about the Santa Claus guy, his ministry is Santa Claus.
Yeah.
He comes over to the church. They sit down. First thing, one of the deacons come and says, we'd like to ask you to spit your gum out in church. Don't chew your gum in church, please, just for respect. What did he do? He goes outside. He's complaining. He said, we think we're just going to start our own church.
You can chew gum in it.
So you can chew gum?
Yeah.
Huh? That's what's wrong.
Right.
That's what's wrong today. We're so weak. People are so weak.
Yes, sir.
This is a weak and adulterous generation.
Yes, sir.
People's feelings are hurt over everything. Every little thing. Brother Branham said that the bride, the elect of God, are thoroughbreds.
Yep.
They're thoroughbreds. They can stand the heat.
Yes, sir.
They got faith. They can stand by revelation. They overlook all this worldly stuff. They overlook the flesh.
Yes,
you say overlook the flesh. Yes. The Bible said, know no man after the flesh. If you know me after the flesh, then you aren't going to have a pretty picture. I got plenty of faults. I got plenty of problems. I got all of that. That's right. So if you know me after the flesh, you'll never have confidence in me. If you know me after the Word, then you'll have confidence in the Word. That's right. I got to do that with you. You got to do that with me. What does that take? It takes a revelation. It takes God in your heart revealing to you. You think how many times Brother Branham talked about some of those brothers that were just rascals. They were rascals. They were thieves and liars and backstabbers. And he called them brother, and he from the pulpit he talked about how nice they were and how much he loved them and what great friends they were.
Right.
You say, well, that's a hypocrite. There's a place that God wants you to be.
Right.
And that place is just like that prophet. When God wants you to denounce that sin, God will anoint you to do it.
Yes, sir.
God will never send you on a mission to destroy people's reputations.
That's right.
He won't do it.
Amen.
Under any circumstance.
That's right.
No. He'll call you to preach against sin. He'll call you to be honest. He'll call you to have integrity.
Right.
But you're not going to go around running people down.
Right.
No matter how wrong they are.
Right.
He said, when you do that, you're worse than them. Well, I like it when things are being said that you never intended to say. Is that right, Brother Gomo? When you come and you know it's not you because you know you had none of it planned to say. And that's how we left the other day on Wednesday. I didn't have none of that planned to say, but it just came out. And so the mind, the flesh is saying, well, I hope I didn't hurt anybody's feelings. I hope I didn't this. I hope I didn't that. That's got to be done away with.
That's right.
If God is the one doing it, if God is the one saying it,
right,
then let it hurt wherever it needs to hurt.
Yes,
that's right.
You look at this generation that we're in, and it's weak. It's a weak and adulterous generation. That's the Bible. That's the Scripture. Last night, sorry to bring this up, dear, but we had family over at our house, and so there was a bunch of little children. Some of them wasn't family. There were just some that were just there by friends, whatever. Came with family, I mean. And so there was just all kind of chaos. And so one of my daughters, my youngest daughter, she just adopted two children, and so this little boy, he loves salad. He loves salad. And so he eats a big plate of salad every time we come together, and so that's just wonderful. And so he goes back, and she guides them in what they should eat, and then he goes back, and he makes this massive plate of salad all by his lonesome. He did it all on his own. So he couldn't eat but about half of it because it was man size. So he's left it sitting there. And so then it came time for the dessert. And he wanted some cheesecake. And so he got his plate and he come for the cake. And his mother said, no, you're not wasting that food. And she said, you finish that and you can have the cake. Mm-hmm. And I saw, I was surprised. Mm-hmm. And so everyone's kind of saying, oh, it's okay. This is a get together. This is a family. This is this, this is this, this is this. And she said, I didn't fix it. He fixed it. This is on him. And he's not going to waste it. And he's not going to have cheesecake till he eats it. And, of course, Grandma feels bad. Grandma wants to help. And I said, don't go there. Get out of there. Leave it. I said, this is the best thing that can happen to this boy. This is the best thing that can happen to him. I said, it won't happen but once or twice. And when he goes to the table, he'll fix what he's going to eat. And he won't be wasting all that food. I said, he's wasted it before. I've seen him. I said, she's helping him. And that's what we have to do as parents. That's what we have to do as preachers. Huh? We have to say what we don't even like to say sometimes. Sometimes we have to say things that are hard. Sometimes we have to say things we know is going to hurt feelings. And we don't like it. I don't like it. But God, we have an obligation. We have an obligation to be honest one to another. We have an obligation that if somebody comes to you, a brother or sister comes to you and says, you've offended me, then you have an obligation to fix that offense, to make that thing right. Amen. This is a long ways from my message. All right, this is in, oh, we haven't even read anything, have we? Okay, I want to get into this. I have some really good quotes, really good stuff. So, but we're going to start off here in the fourth seal, and he's going to talk a little bit about the book, but it's going to build up to something that I want to get to. And then nobody in heaven or in earth or beneath the earth was worthy to open or even to look upon. And John wept, see, because he could find no man. So immediately now, what he's talking about is he's saying this thing that's got to be done. And I want to go ahead and place it in this day, right? I want to place it in this day. This thing that's got to be done in this day cannot be done by a man. Huh? That's right, huh?
Amen.
This thing that he's talking about. We're talking about Revelation chapter 5. He's talking about Revelation chapter 10. He's talking about the things that the Bible says. Remember, once again, this is Brother Adam said, we're going to read it. This is the entirety of the Revelation. Right? The entirety. So you say, well, if it's not in here, then we don't need a prophet. Well, this is what tells you you need a prophet today.
Yeah.
This is what tells you there'll be a prophet today.
That's right.
That's right. This is it. It's all right in here. You just got to read it. And you got to ask God to reveal it to you. There's nowhere you're ever going to find in there where the Pentecostal doctrine is going to save you today, or the Baptist doctrine, or the Methodist doctrine, or the Catholic doctrine. No. What you need to know is where God is speaking from in this day.
That's right.
And he will reveal himself because he's done it in every day.
Amen.
Every age he vindicates the voice of God for that day.
Yes, sir.
So he's promised. Now, he's got to come on the scene to do this. Because if the book was not taken out of the hand of the original owner, where it had been lost by Adam and Eve, and went back after they forfeited their rights of the word, their promises, and their inheritance. What did they do? They forfeited it. They forfeited all of it. See? Remember, they controlled the earth. They did what? They controlled the earth. There they was, husband and wife, full control of the earth, handling everything, doing everything, naming everything. They're in full control. But they forfeited it. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ was on a man. The Spirit of Christ was on a man. When his wife had failed, He went after her. And he brought her back to himself.
Amen.
Well, that one's easy, isn't it? To see Jesus Christ in every verse right back there.
Yep.
Those are easy ones to see. But it's just like that all the way through.
Right.
Remember, they controlled the earth. He was an amateur God, for he was the Son of God. Huh? And a Son of God is an amateur God. And let me ask you a question. Is that what the Bible says? You ever read the genealogy? What does it say about Adam? It says it talks about the sons of Adam, the sons of this, the sons of that one, the sons all the way down, 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 down. But what does it say about Adam? It comes all the way back to Adam and says, who was the Son of God? He was the Son of God.
Right.
And that's what you are if you've been born again.
Right.
Huh? He was by creation. And we are his sons by flesh. And we are sons of God, daughters of God, by the new birth.
Amen.
And by that new birth, it brings us back to that place. You say, well, brother, the way I read it is I don't see this paradise. I want this paradise where there's just fruit trees everywhere and the rivers flowing by and all these different things. Well, you have one spiritually, let me tell you that. And you have the power living within you.
Right.
Brother Branham said, to create a world and go live on it.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Right.
Adam was a son of God. God is the creator, and he was an amateur creator. And he could do whatever he wanted to do.
Amen.
See? A son of God, not talking about Adam now, a son of God is an amateur God. And that ain't contrary to the scripture. I know it sounds strange, but Jesus said, if you call them who the word of God came to, what does the word of God come to? It comes to a prophet. If you call them who the word of God come to, gods, how can you condemn me when I say that I'm the son of God?
Amen.
Now, every one of those denominations of that day rejected Christ because he said he was the Son of God. And they couldn't recognize the Son of God. And people today don't recognize the sons of God.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because they have a different idea of what a son and daughter of God is.
Yep.
The Baptists have a Baptist idea.
Right.
That's what they have.
Yes, sir.
You go to church on Sunday, then you're saved. You repent and call on the name of Jesus Christ, you're saved. It don't matter. You can still drink and smoke and cuss and dress immoral and do all your sins that you want to do. But you're saved. That's the Baptist doctrine. The Methodist doctrine is that you've got to get a little bit active. You've got to come in sometime and you've got to get excited enough to shout. And if you shout, that's the glory of God, and you've expressed it, and now you're a Christian, and now you're saved, and you'll always be saved. You just go sin all you want to because you're saved. Now, the Pentecostals, they're more involved, of course. They're going to get into a little bit more spiritual thing, and they're going to speak in tongues, and they're going to jump and shout, and they're going to do these different things. And so, but if you do it, you're saved. Now, it doesn't matter if you're still in sin, because there's no sin because you've repented. Once you repent, then you can go sin all you want to and do anything you want to because you've called on the name of the Lord. That's their doctrine. But that's not this doctrine.
That's right.
This is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Yes,
and that though none of those doctrines fit into this.
Amen.
They take a piece of this, but they don't take the entirety of this. They don't do it.
Amen.
See, if you call them who the word of God comes to, gods, how can you condemn me when I say I'm the son of God? See? Now they were gods. And men, if you become born in the family of your family name, you are a son and a part of your father, right? So Adam was the son of the father. He was a son of God. And so he could only do. And that's why Jesus, when he came, he was the Son of God. He was the fullness of the Son of God. And he kept telling us that you will do the works that I do.
That's right.
Everything I do. Not the Baptist works and the Methodist works and the Presbyterian works and the Catholic works.
Amen.
People don't even realize how perverted and how demonic many of those church rituals are. The Catholics pray to the dead. Huh? They pray to the dead. No offense to them, but that's just the facts. We're here, we're talking about the Word of God this morning, not running Catholics down. They're sincere people, much sincerity in their life. And if they are sons and daughters of God, they will come out of that when they hear the Word of God.
Yes,
it will bring them out, because what they're in is death.
Right.
And it's demonic.
That's
a hard word, but that's just trying to shake the tree. All right, I'm jumping. I'm going down. You see those small? I made that smaller. Now, I left a lot of stuff there for you to read later if you want to read it, the in-between and the before and the after and all of that. And so, I'm trying to just hit the highlights because we just can't. There's just not enough time. And I feel like when I'm studying, I feel like, man, this is going so slow. And I have quotes that that are here, and I put them on there, and it just keep getting pushed and pushed because we don't get very far. And I think, I got to do something. I got to get farther. And I want to take out this little stuff. And I think, no, I'm thinking, I want this little stuff for the children, the young people. I want them to see the some of these things. And so it is just, it's a wrestling match sometimes trying to get it together here. This morning, this just came just this morning, so I'm not wrestling with this. Okay, let's read it. And that's the way the blood of Jesus Christ does. Then that sets a man across the chasm again as a son of God.
Yes,
huh? What? The blood. The blood. The new birth. See? It sets a man across the chasm again as a son of God. See? So what happens? This man, he's caught up. He's caught up. He's called out. Is that right? The word calls you out.
Amen.
And Paul told his people, he said, you have been translated into the kingdom. Now, those are powerful words. Those are strong words. And I like using them because people need to get used to hearing those words.
Right.
We've been so long, we've been using this word rapture that's not in the Bible. It's not in the Bible, and we've been using it like the Baptists teach it, and the Pentecostals teach it, and the Methodists teach it, so that people have got this idea of the rapture is just boom, they're gone up into the skies, and everything goes into a wreck down here. And we find out when the prophet comes on the scene that he's telling us, he said, how do you know it's not going on all the time? That's what the prophet said. And not only that, he said that when this takes place in Thessalonians, that as he's descending, three things happen. This is the Bible now. Remember now, this is the revelation. And it says here that three things are going to happen as he's descending. There's going to be a voice, a shout, and a trump. And so the one that really nails us to the wall is the shout. Because that one, you just can't mistake it. Now, you can wrestle with the trump, and you can wrestle with the voice, and you can think this, you can think a lot of things. But it's the same things taking place. But the shout is the message. And the message was going on all the time. And he said that shout, that message, is calling the people out of the seventh church age. That's what he was doing. Is calling the people out of that revelation into the living revelation, into the living word for this day.
Yes.
It's calling them out. And what happened to them? By revelation, they're caught up.
Yes,
they're caught up in the presence of God. And now they're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the same thing Paul told his people. He told them that they have been translated and that they're now present tense sitting.
Yes,
in the kingdom of God. Boy, did they, you know, and I know when you haven't heard these things that this is just like a wrestling match in your mind. You're thinking, could they have got us that far off? Could they have got us that far off that making us believe the rapture is like this and like this and like this? And now we're finding out that the true new birth comes forth and the Spirit of God comes in and reveals Himself to you and catches you out of what you were in. Huh? Catches you out of that old idea. Catches you out of those man-made ideas. Catches you out of those churches. Huh? It's exactly what it's done. It's a quickening power. It's the Spirit of God coming in and quickening the seed of God, the soul of God in you. And you're changed. You're changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And this mortal flesh now is immortality. The eternal life of God Himself is now living in your flesh. In a moment. You just bat your eyes. That seed has been quickened. How did it get quickened? Because you heard the Word.
Yes, sir.
And when you heard the Word, if there's a seed of God in there, put in there before the foundation of the world, then God quickens that seed.
Yes, sir.
And when He quickens that seed, it's over with. Eternal life is living in flesh.
Amen.
Praise be to God.
Yes, sir.
You don't have anything to do with it. You can't control it. I can't control it. These preachers can't control it. The Baptist can't control it. The Methodist can't control it. God is controlling it.
Amen.
God is doing this thing.
That's right.
Amen. He did it in every age.
Yes, sir.
He did it in Moses' day. He's standing there looking at that sea, and he's looking at the dust of the army coming, and he don't know what to do.
Right.
He's in a fix. He's in a strait. What did he do? Nothing. He couldn't do nothing. God came down and took over his lips, took over his body. God did it. Man couldn't do that. But on the inside of that man was a seed. And that seed was a believer. That seed came from God before the foundation of the world. And that's why God could come down and use that veil of flesh. It wasn't Moses' idea. It wasn't Moses' action. It wasn't his strength. It wasn't anything. It was God.
Amen.
God took over the man. And God did it.
Yes, sir.
And he spoke the word. Just like Adam spoke the word.
Amen.
He spoke that word and the water stopped. And they just kept backing up and backing up and backing because they couldn't cross that line.
That's right.
They couldn't cross that line. And there came a wind. And that wind dried up that mud.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says, this eternal word, this revelation of Jesus Christ, says that they crossed on dry land.
Yes, sir.
Do you know how long it takes for that land to dry? Do you know how deep that mud is? If you ever drained a pond, or if you ever walk out in one, then you just sink up in it. They crossed according to this, if we believe this. Because this is the Word of God. Okay. So then, and then he becomes, why, even he, the creative power of God is in him. See? And at least whenever God can command it to be done, it'll be done. And we get back. So what did he just say now? Let's see. So he said, now, when we come into the presence of God, that we receive the blood of Jesus Christ, we've crossed the chasm. Okay, did you physically go anywhere? Did you physically change locations? But he just said, you've crossed the chasm. Huh? We're talking about heavenly places. We're talking about from life, from death unto life. And then He's talking about you. The creative power of God is in you to create. That's what he's saying. But listen how he words it. So at least whenever God can command it, huh? Whenever God wants to do it, whenever God wants you to say something, whenever God wants you to do something, create, whatever it is, he can do it. He can do it through you because you or a son of God, a daughter of God. It'll be done. See, we get it back. Now, when Moses, then that's when Moses, under the blood of bulls, when he met the light, the pillar of fire in that burning bush, and he stood there on a commission that God had given him, and he was a prophet, and we had a prophet today, and God gave him a commission, and that commission was laughed at, it was mocked, it was made fun of, because God told him, he said, you're going to go around the world, and you're going to pray for kings, and you're going to pray for potentates, great men, these great leaders of nations, this nation and other nations. And they laughed because he had a sixth grade education. He'd never been to a Bible school, never got to theology, now didn't have proper grammar. He just had southern common language. And they laughed. His own pastor, a theologian, laughed and said, you with a sixth grade education, you're going to pray for kings? You're going to pray for great leaders around the world? It happened. It happened. He had a commission and he believed God. And they asked him, said, how's it going to be? He said, I don't know. I don't know. But he told me. He told me. That's the difference. It's the difference of when you have a relationship with God and you can talk to God and you can hear God and you can receive from God.
Amen.
When you get that, then God can speak to you and everybody in the world can say, no way. And you say, yes way.
Amen.
God has spoke and it will be. You know why many times Christians stand alone? It's because God loves it. Because God loves it. He loves proving and vindicating that revelation that you have, that faith that you have.
Yes, sir.
He loves it. That's why sometimes he'll pull you aside.
Amen.
And make you, you know, it's a lot easier to talk about the rapture and the coming of the Lord and these other revelations. It's easy when you got a crowd full of people who believe it. But it's harder when you're the only one in the crowd believing it. And you're trying to get it across. There's a big difference. That's where Brother Goomba's going. He's going to be going there. Some of those places. And he's trying to bring them revelation that they don't know anything about. That they presently don't agree with. But it's in here. It's in there. It's there. I know Satan don't like it. That's why there's those key words. There's a key, just like rapture. You know Satan don't like that. It's not in the Bible. Go look, search. I like it. Go search it. That word's not in there. So it's a different word. So if it's a different word, it could have a different meaning than what they told us. Because
right.
They're the ones who told us the word. And we've been going by what they said that word means.
That's right.
But that word's not there.
Right.
Brother Branham said in Christ, the mystery of God revealed, he said, the rapture, he said, Luther was a part. Wesley was a part. And he said those prophets in that they were making the foundation, building the foundation. What is he talking about? He's talking about a body.
Yes,
he's talking about a word body. The body of Jesus Christ, the body of God. In every age, the prophet comes on the scene, he speaks the revelation for the day, and the people of that day, for the most part, turn against it. But there's a few people that say, that's right. And some of them are messed up. That little woman at the well, that prostitute. What about Rahab, that prostitute, huh? Down in her day. Those are the people we look down upon that God placed a seed in.
Yes, sir.
To help us get over that nonsense.
That's right.
To get over that kind of thinking. Knowing people after the flesh. Amen. Because God can hide his seed in the worst.
Yes, sir.
The worst kind of man and the worst kind of woman.
Amen.
He could take a John the Baptist with no education, spin out there for, what, 30 years? Maybe? How old was he? 30 years? Something. Yeah, he was the same age as Christ. For what? For 6 months of ministry. 6 months. That's all he preached. And they cut his head off. And he was a powerhouse.
Yes, sir.
He stood alone.
Yes.
Just put yourself back there. Would you have believed a man like that? Could you have got past his looks? He's got an old dead skin that he found a dead camel somewhere and took the skin off, and that's what he was wearing. I don't think he went to Belk's and bought that skin. It was all fixed up so nice. No. He found that skin somewhere. That's what he wore. And he ate locusts and wild honey. That's the stuff you get in the bush. That's the things you get in the bush. But he stood true to the word of God. And he told those kings and those potentates and those great leaders and those great denominations and those great theologians. He told them. He called them snakes. What would you think about that? Huh? Could you follow that? Could you believe that kind of ministry? Look, and when he met that light, who? Moses. Moses, when he met that light. See, he's talking about now. If that other, we could become sons of God and create, do those things under the blood of Jesus Christ. Look at Moses back there under the blood of bulls and goats. The same God, the same power, the same quickening power. Come on, Moses. See? And that pillar of fire in the burning bush, and he stood down there on a commission that God gave him, and he was a prophet. And when the word of the Lord came to him, he spoke. And even things created by the word, see? That's right. What did he do? His own idea? No, the word of God came to him. It comes to you. Huh? God raises up the prophet. God reveals the word of God. And then that message, it goes out.
Yes, sir.
Through the ministry of others, of many others. Not of just one. Doesn't go to one prophet and then there's going to be one more person behind that. And then one more person behind that? No. He said it comes to the prophet and then it goes into the ministry of others.
Amen.
It's nice to have confidence in the ministry. The problem has always been, and this is, I'm sure that every one of you that study history, that study your Bible, that study the spiritual things, that studies the Word of God, you notice this one thing. The more popularity a man gets, the more glory that God puts on a man, is the more he becomes the only one. Is that so, brother? It happens. It's somehow or another, the more he gets that God's given him a sheep to feed and giving him responsibility, that he wants more. It's like a man who's addicted to money or a man who's addicted to alcohol. He just wants more and more and more. And so he gets more money and more money. He don't get satisfied. He'll still, after he's got his millions or his billions, if he's got a corrupt heart, he will continue to cheat you. That's right. I've been in business 40 years. And you know who's the only ones who cheat you, I shouldn't say this only one. Let me just leave this, not say it like that. You know who I've been cheated by the most? Is rich people. The poor guy who's out here slaving, He's the most likely guy he's going to pay you. Because he feels just like you. That you need your money. You've worked hard. And now he's going to pay you. And it's the hardest for him to do it. But these guys that's got millions in the bank, they treat you like you're a bank. You say, what does that mean? That means that when you hand them the bill, that they say, okay, now I'm going to have a CD now that's maturing, okay? And it'll be mature in 6 weeks or 8 weeks. So it's just not too long, you know, just a couple months, and it'll mature. Said, I can take it out now, but I'm going to lose some money because, you know, you get interest if you keep it to this date. And so they don't tell you that up front. They tell you that after. And they do that over and over. When the word of the Lord came to him, he spoke. And let's see, let's keep going down. We got to get going here. Let's go down to paragraph 35. So now there's something wrong somewhere in the churches. And I think, this is what the prophet thinks now. If you're sons of the prophet, you're going to think just like he thinks because he's got the mind of Christ. So he's going to say, he said, there's something wrong. I'm going to tell you what I think it is. See, I think it's the denominational systems that's twisted the people's minds so forth until they don't know how to do it. That's right. See, but we're promised that it would be revealed. And now these seven seals that this book is sealed with, and those seven seals, see, and then after these seven seals are completed. Now we find in Revelation 10, there was seven mysterious thunders that John was commissioned to write, but then forbidden to write. And at the time of those thunders, we find Christ or the angel come down with a rainbow and put his foot on the land and a foot on the sea and swore that time had run out at that time. Now, where is he getting that from? Right here. All right? I want to keep bringing you back here. Because he said, Brother Ben said, it's all in here. So that's in here. Is that right? That mighty angel comes down in Revelation 10. He puts one foot on the land, one foot on the sea. And he speaks those seven thunder mysteries. Now, when John saw it, when John heard it, he was told not to write it. But now when this mighty angel comes, he's going to say it. He's going to speak it. Amen. It's all in here. It's right here. And we find out that in the revealing of the seals, that the Lamb has left his mediatory work as an intercessor. And he had come forth now to claim his rights and all that he had redeemed by his death. Now, what's he talking about now? He's talking about Revelation chapter 5. In chapter 5, then the call went out. There was no man worthy to take the book and open the seals. So, and then John turns and he sees the Lamb. The Lamb is going to come and take the book and reveal the seven seals thereof. So, then we find that the Lamb was a lion, according to the Scripture. The lamb, when he turned to see it, there was a lion. I'm sorry, I got it backwards. He said it was a lion, and then when he turned to look, it was a lamb. Is that right? I got it right? Okay. So now, that's Revelation 5. Now in Revelation chapter 10, the lion, and he spoke like a lion. He spoke like a lion. That's Revelation 10. In chapter 5, the book's closed. In chapter 10, the book's open. So all of this was happening in real time at the end of the seventh church age. At the end of the seventh church age, the prophet, the seventh angel standing on the earth, and the mighty angel comes down. Now, this is not a fiction. This is not some story or make-believe. This is the Bible. The Bible said these things. The problem is people aren't reading it. People aren't reading it. And so you got to read it. And then if you want to get the revelation of it, then you're going to come over here and you're going to get the prophets. You're going to get what God revealed by the prophet. These two books are going to start you off just perfectly because this is going to give you the church ages and this is going to give you the seven seals. And so this is more revelation on the book of Revelation than has ever been known since Calvary. Huh? Since the Isle of Patmos, when it was wrote, those things hadn't been known, been guessed at, the theologians had guessed. But then this day now, the prophet comes on the scene and God reveals the whole book of Revelations. So this is just revealing what this says. And this says it in symbol form. This says it in by revelation. And so it's there for us. But you have to want it. God came down and offered it to Cain. He just brought it over to Cain. He said, there it is. Just do it. You, and God promised him, you will be accepted. Did he do it? He didn't want it. He didn't want it. He said, take your books. See, we find out that the revealing of the seals, the Lamb had left his mediatorial work as an intercessor and had come forth to claim his rights, and that he had redeemed by his death. Now, what was the first quote that we read was that it couldn't be a man. It had to be God. So that's what it was. So the one who takes the book, the way that this book got revealed was God came and revealed what it was. Has to be. Now, paragraph 42. We're running out of time here. And that's the way the church ages and the seals and all the rest of it. When anybody thinks that he has those seven thunders, if it don't compare with the rest of the word, there's something wrong. Huh? Yeah, so when those seven thunders start coming out, it's got to compare with this. Because the prophet said it's either going to be scripture or a continuation of the scripture. Right? That's what he said. So, if it don't compare with the rest of the word, there's something wrong here. See? It's got to come, thus saith the Lord, for this is the book. This is the revelation of Jesus Christ in its entirety. Amen. Now the prophet's telling us that this Bible is the revelation in its entirety. Right? Yes, so even before it was all written, it was already the revelation of Jesus Christ. Amen. And it was in its entirety. Right. Because it was the mind of God, the Word of God, which the Word of God is eternal. So 2,000 years ago, when Christ come on the scene and all those prophets had spoken and all those mysteries was laying hidden in those prophecies and those denominations in that day, Pharisees, Sadducees, Scribes, Herodians, all the rest of them, they all there all had an idea. But now Christ comes on the scene and he's the revelation. And the revelation is walking and talking and revealing. And the theologians and the denominations are saying, no, 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 that's not what we believe. We don't believe that. We don't believe that. We don't believe that. So he starts going back there and pulling out a scripture and saying, tells us what it is. And he reveals it. He speaks the spoken word and his disciples don't understand. Is that right? He speaks the spoken word and the disciples say, what does this mean? So he takes them off to the side, and he reveals it to them. And you know, you've read it in here, I'm sure, if you read your Bible. It says in here that without a parable, he spake not unto them. You know what a parable is? It's a riddle. It's something you can't understand. You can guess at it. You can assume it. But it's something you can't understand. Without a parable, Christ did not speak to them denominations. He spoke to them in a mystery. And that's how the whole Bible's been. That's what the book of Revelations was. And it was going to take God himself to come down and reveal that mystery. And that's what it took in that day, because he took them into the room, into the house. He took them aside from everybody else, and he explained the parable to them. It wasn't for the rest of them. People get that in their mind. It wasn't for them. They were blinded to it. Did you know that's what your Bible says? They were blinded to it. See, this book is the revelation of Jesus Christ in its entirety. And when Christ appears on the earth, as this fellow appears and becomes completely the devil, from Antichrist all the way down to false prophet, then into the beast, the devil himself, and he's riding on a pale horse, colored all up and mixed with all kinds of colors to make him pale and deathly. See? But when our Lord appears here on the earth, he will be riding on a snow-white horse. And he will be completely, fully the Emmanuel, the Word of God. Huh? This is what he's going to be. The Word of God incarnate in a man. When our Lord appears, he is going to be the Word of God incarnate in a man. And you can see how much difference there is in them now. That's the difference, though. There, Satan. Satan becomes incarnate. God becomes incarnate. In the Laodicean church age, Jesus called John the Baptist Elijah. And Matthew 17:12, "But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him what they listed." Now, I didn't go back and read this scripture, but I'm pretty sure 17:11 says, "And the disciples came to him and said," why the disciples are asking now, saying, "Why do the scribes say that Elias will come first?" Now they're asking Christ to explain the word of God, because we got prophecies over here and prophecies over here. They said, "We don't understand. We're believing you're the one, and you, and they're saying that you can't be it, or you can't be here until this Elias comes." That was it. So Jesus says, "I say unto you that truly Elias will first come." Shall come. Then he says here, "But I say unto you, Elias is come already." Now, they understood, this is what the Bible says, they understood that he was talking to them about John the Baptist. That was the spirit of Elijah on John the Baptist. So these things are supposed to be making us spiritual, making us see spiritual, understand spiritual, and all those things. So we have the spirit of Elijah on Elijah. We have the spirit of Elijah on Elisha. We have the spirit of Elijah on John the Baptist. We have the spirit of Elijah on William Branham. And then we have the spirit of Elijah by the prophecy for Moses and Elijah at the end time. Five times the spirit of Elijah was promised to come. And so there you have it, just like that. So Jesus identified two comings. So one of those was for the end time. One of those was for his day. That's the reason that they called John Elijah. Was because, did I leave some out? "But I say unto you that Elias has come already, and they knew him not, but have done unto him what they listed." The reason that they called John Elijah was because the same spirit that was upon Elijah had come back upon John. Even as the spirit had come back upon Elisha after the reign of King Ahab. Now once again, that spirit will come back upon another man just before Jesus comes. It's a promise now. You young people, listen. Now, he will be a prophet, and he will be vindicated as such by God, since Jesus himself, listen to this, because we're going to read something else that will go together with this. See? He will be a prophet. He will be vindicated as such by God. And since Jesus himself in the flesh won't be here to vindicate him, as he did John. Notice now, he's talking about that flesh that Jesus Christ was in that vindicated the ministry of John the Baptist. Now he's saying that there's going to be another Elijah, spirit of Elijah come, and that Jesus Christ in that flesh is not going to be here to vindicate like he did John. Am I saying it right? Okay. Let's continue. So, since Jesus himself in the flesh won't be here to vindicate him as he did John, it will be done by the Holy Spirit, so that this prophet's ministry will be attended by great and wonderful manifestations. So what's he saying? That this prophet of the last days, Jesus Christ in that fleshly body, is not going to be here, but by the Word, by the Holy Ghost, God's going to vindicate the ministry. Okay? God has to vindicate. He vindicated every prophet, any messenger, any preacher. It don't matter who it is. He's got to vindicate you. If you're a believer in this last day, God has to vindicate it. And he promised to vindicate it. He vindicates it by your actions, by your life, by the Holy Ghost living in you.
Amen.
These ministers here, God has to vindicate them. God proves that he is in them and that their ministry is his ministry.
Amen.
Not them proving it, God's proving it. You listen to the revelation. You listen to the Word. You look at the signs. You look at the wonders. All of those things, that's God. And God's doing it to vindicate their ministry to you. Just what he did to William Branham in such a powerful way that's never been done from the foundation of the world and never be done again. You could say amen to that.
Amen.
Because there was more supernatural done in the ministry of William Branham than any prophet in the whole Bible and maybe all of what's recorded. But certainly more than what's recorded in the days of Jesus. Read it. Add them up. You can go count them. Count how many miracles. Count how many things are done. Then go start in this message. You can't even get all of these. It was so supernatural. It was so... I was reading some of the things yesterday with Brother Branham in different countries and different places. And he could just... God could wake him up and one said, get up. And he'd have him walk, say he walked 3 or 4 miles in another country. I don't know where he is. And then he'd just stop and pray for 2 or 3 hours. 2 or 3 hours. He's still a man. He's still concerned with time. And he's thinking, the brothers are looking for me. They're wondering where I'm at. And we're supposed to go to this appointment or that appointment. We're supposed to do this and this. Get it ready for the meetings. And he said, I prayed 2 or 3 hours, and he said, God tells me to get up and start walking. And he said, I'm just walking down the street. He said, turn right. He said, I walk a little ways. He said, turn left. And he said, after a minute or two, he runs into somebody. And then a healing takes place or a prophecy is fulfilled or something supernatural happens. And then he tells him to walk again, and he starts walking again. And then he meets somebody else, and the same thing. Something else happens. Supernatural. It didn't happen hundreds of times. It didn't happen thousands of times. It happened tens of thousands of times. If you can believe this, and this is proof that people don't believe this. Because if you say that you believe this because of the supernatural, you can believe something that was not in your day and not in your age and that there's not living witnesses to, but you can believe it and then not believe what's in this hour and proven. And people are living that saw it with their eyes. And even people that it happened to and that were healed. What does it do? It takes you right back to the scripture, doesn't it? Yep, to the rich man. And the rich man wanted Lazarus to come dip his finger in the water and give him a drop. He said, no, he said, there's a great chasm. These on this side of the chasm can't get to that side of the chasm. And he said, well, send somebody. Send him back to tell my brother. And I forget how many brothers he had. 5 brothers or with a bunch of brothers. Tell my brothers about this so they won't come to this place. And he said, no, they have Moses and the prophets. He said, no. He said, but if one rose from the dead, they would believe it. In other words, he already knew they didn't believe. Huh? He already knew they didn't believe it. He said, but if somebody rose from the dead, then they would believe it. He said, no, they wouldn't. And that's the reality, isn't it? That's a reality that we know as predestinated, elected sons and daughters of God. Is that they couldn't, it doesn't matter how plain or simple you put it, they can't believe it. They can't. He said, if they won't believe Moses, neither will they believe though one rose from the dead.
That's right.
See, the Spirit will come back upon another man. Okay. All right. As a prophet, every revelation will be vindicated. For every revelation will come to pass. Wonderful acts of power will be performed at his commands in faith. And then will be brought forth the message that God has given him in the word to turn the people back to truth. And the true power of God, some will listen, but the majority will run true to form and reject him. See? And since this prophet messenger of Revelations 10:7 will be the same messenger as Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6. So Revelations 10:7 and Malachi 4, it's the same prophet, the same messenger, the prophecy for the same manifestation, both of them. He will naturally be like Elijah and John. And both were men set apart from the accepted religious schools of their day. Both men were of the wilderness. Both acted only when they had, thus saith the Lord, straight from God by revelation. Both lashed out against the religious orders and leaders of their day. But not only was that so, they lashed out against all who were corrupt and would corrupt others. And notice, both prophesied much against immoral women and their ways. Elijah cried out against Jezebel, and John rebuked Herodias, Philip's wife. Though he will not be popular, but he will be vindicated by God.
Amen.
As Jesus authenticated John. Now how, I ask you, how did Jesus vindicate John's ministry? How did he do it? Because John said that there is one standing among you now whose shoes I'm not worthy to loose. He it is. He's the one. He's the Messiah. He's already on the earth. Doesn't that sound like what our prophet did? He said the seventh angel standing on the earth when that mighty angel comes down. Similar, isn't it? Very similar. And John said, he's already here. He said, there's one standing among you. Huh? So what would it take to prove that prophecy? It would only take one thing. For Jesus to walk up. And that's what happened. John was down there baptizing. And one day, Christ walks up and he sees the Spirit of God come down on him. And he said, behold, the Lamb of God. This is what I told you. This is the one. This is the Messiah.
Amen.
This is God come down in flesh. Huh? That was the vindication. That was the vindication that everything that John said was thus saith the Lord.
Yes, sir.
The same thing happens with our prophet today, with every prophet from the beginning. The same thing.
Amen.
See, he will be vindicated by God. As Jesus authenticated John, the Holy Spirit authenticated Jesus. Is that right? Did God vindicate Jesus' ministry? He did. But how did he do it? By bringing it to pass. By proving the word. See? We can well expect that this man will be first of all authenticated by the Spirit working in his life in acts of power that are indisputable and found nowhere else. And Jesus himself, in returning, will authenticate him.
Right.
Praise be to God. Amen. So if this mighty angel comes down while this angel is on the earth, then God's going to vindicate that.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Amen.
And he did. He did. He walked right out. He was in a meeting in Jeffersonville, Indiana, and the auditorium was not big enough for him, for the people. And so what they had is they had a gymnasium on one side. They had a stage. They had the stage here. And they had a gymnasium back here. And they had an auditorium over here. And so this stage serviced both sides. So what they did is they filled up both sides with people, completely full. And he preached marriage and divorce, I think, in the morning. And he preached, who is this Melchizedek in the night? And so he's standing there preaching, who is this Melchizedek? And he went back to the days of Abraham, at the tent door of Abraham, when God created a veil of flesh and walked down and fellowship with his elected son, Abraham. And his wife was in the tent behind him. And Brother Branham stood there facing this way and began calling them out back here. The ones he couldn't see, but he did see. He was looking at them, and they were back there behind his back. And he told them where they were sitting, told them what their name was, told them what was wrong with them, told them they were healed. Huh? It was the same God.
Yeah, yes, sir.
God is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. No man can do it.
Amen.
Brother Branham couldn't do it. Moses couldn't do it. Jesus couldn't do it. Huh?
Right.
Jesus couldn't do it.
Right.
He said, I can't do anything but what he shows me.
Amen.
He was a veil of flesh that the eternal God was living in.
Yes, sir.
He was a veil of flesh that the prophets were living in. They were a veil of flesh that he was living in. I'm sorry, I'm tangling it up, but you just pray for me. See, he authenticated John. John witnessed that Jesus was coming. And so will this man. Like John, witnessed that Jesus is coming. And the very return of Christ will prove that this man indeed was the forerunner of his second coming. This is the final evidence. Listen, this is the final evidence. What? Christ coming. Who is Christ? He already told us. He is the Word. And that Word is going to be incarnate in a man.
Amen.
I know Satan don't like it. Satan don't like it. But God promised that the living Word, and not only the living Word, but the fullness of the living Word, the fullness of the Spirit of God was promised in this day. And it was going to not be manifested in that fleshly body of Christ 2,000 years ago. But God was going to take another body and going to incarnate himself in that body and do everything that he did in that body back there. And then it was going to take the Spirit of Christ in you to recognize God in this body, doing the same thing that he did in that body 2,000 years ago. That makes sense?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what he did today.
Yeah.
Just, you tell me what. God created three bodies in the days of Abraham. He created. He took dust and created three bodies. God entered one. And then these two angels entered in to the other two bodies. Now they go down and they come to Abraham's house, or his tent, his home. And Abraham sees them and he says, my Lord. Singular. He don't say my lords. He said, my Lord. Singular. And he takes them in. And he feeds God. God now is in flesh that can eat and that can drink and can talk and have fellowship with his children.
Amen.
And that's what he does. And not only that, because he's the Word, he reveals to Abraham the thoughts that are in Sarah's heart behind him.
Right.
He said, she's going to have a baby. And she laughed and she didn't do it out loud. There was no noise.
Right.
She laughed in here. And he said, why did Sarah laugh? She said, I didn't laugh. Oh, she didn't, not out loud, but she did it in here. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper and a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart.
Amen.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
And you know He knows what you're thinking right now?
Yes,
He knows exactly what you're thinking right now.
That's right.
And every day. Things that you already forgot you were thinking last week, He knows them. What you're going to think next week and you don't know it yet, He knows it. He knows it. You don't lose track.
Right.
You don't get confused. You don't forget nothing. The very return of Christ will prove that this man indeed was the forerunner of His second coming. This is the final evidence that this indeed is the prophet of Malachi 4. For the end of the Gentile period will be Jesus Himself appearing. And then it will be too late for those who have rejected Him. Praise God. Modern events. Now, he was a preacher of nature, a great man of God, lived a short time, but certainly set a blaze across the earth. And he shocked that generation in them 6 months of ministry. That's what we were talking about a while ago. God raised him for 30 years to get 6 months. Think about what God has given us. Think about how many years you've got, sister. John lived 30 years of a hard life. From 9 years old, he went into the wilderness, struggling, hungry, cold, suffering, eating bugs, getting stung by bees to steal their honey, only to come out at 30 years old, to come out at 30 years old and be rejected by the whole country, by every church, by every theologian. What a life. It ought to take away all of our complaining, hadn't it? It ought to take away all of our crying and all of our complaining. That man gave his life to God 100%. Take me, Lord. You don't read anything about him complaining and crying and fussing and I want to have a nice robe and I want to have a hot meal and I want a nice house. You don't hear none of those things. No. 30 years. From 9 years old into the wilderness, come out at 30 years old preaching. You talk about a man. That's why Jesus said there's not a greater except the least. Except the least in the kingdom. He was a preacher of nature, a great man of God, lived a short time. He shocked that generation in them 6 months. God raised him up for 30 years to get 6 months out of him. But God does His own way. He knows what His harvest is. Praise be to God. Praise God. Then John's prophecy was vindicated in God's order. And the word came to the prophet and vindicated him truly as that person. See? That's right. And again, Jesus came in different from their understanding of that prophecy. This is what we were talking about. They didn't understand it that way. If they didn't understand it that way, and Genesis to Revelation, they didn't understand it that way, then we are in the same position they were in. We come into this age, and we are introduced to the message of God, and we did not understand it like this. So we had to get rid of all of our thinking. Everything that we've been brainwashed to believe, God has to move that out. We have to come to the revelation of Jesus Christ for this day.
Yes, sir.
Now, we're going down to the end now, but according to the prophet's word, it was fulfilled to the letter. The prophecy's fulfilled, but the way they thought it would be, it wasn't that way. And now how could they have understood and knowed which was right or wrong? How could they know? They couldn't. God had to reveal it. That's God's way. Genesis to Revelation. Abel got a revelation. Moses got a revelation. Noah got a revelation. Always comes by revelation. When there's thousands of denominations today, there's thousands of ideas. There's thousands of different ways to come to Christ or to believe. How do you know? It's a revelation. God has to come down and reveal Himself to you. And when he does, it will flow from Genesis to Revelation. It will flow. It'll go right through the scriptures. Perfectly. The Baptist doctrine don't flow all the way through. They don't even take enough of it to get a flow. And the rest of them the same way. They leave so much of it out, there's no continuity. To see if it was vindicated by God, if it was God interpreting what he said. See? There had been false Jesuses raised up and led a man, about 400, see, out in the wilderness, and he never proved to make himself in the Word. You see? Like that. So there'll be many people rise up. They might take groups this way and that way, like Jim Jones did. They went over, they drank their poison, and they died. And I'm told that that revelation that they had, that this is the way, that this is what God wanted them to do, that when they got down to the end, and they had their wives and they had their children, and they're over there somewhere in Africa, was it, brother? South America. It was. They were in, sorry, not Africa, South America. I don't even remember which country it was. Do you know what it took to fulfill the revelation of their leader? It took guns. Because at the last minute, they didn't want to do it. At the last minute, they were running. At the last minute, they tried to get out of there. And so the deacons, you're not going back. You're going with us. So, is that enough to tell you it was inspired by Satan? That's enough for me. That's enough to tell you. When you have to force it, you don't have to force anybody into this. This is, once God lets you see this, you can't, if we put up a fence out there and God give you a revelation, you would climb the fence. We'd say, no more people. Nobody's coming. You'd say, no, this is it. I know this is it. This is the revelation. We couldn't keep you away from it. Amen. That's what God does. But it's not this or this place or this people, but it's you coming to God. Amen. Because that's what's drawing you. That's the stone. That's the seed. That's the gene that's in there. That's right. Okay, modern events, 233. See, when... Oh, man... I'm sorry, we've gone over a little bit here. Jesus, when he come, he was to be a prophet. That's right. And today, listen to this. This is real good if we quit somewhere around here. And Jesus, when he come, he was to be a prophet. That's right. And today, before Jesus comes again, okay, when he came 2,000 years ago, Jesus was a prophet. And when he comes again, today, the second coming. He already told us about his forerunner. John the Baptist was the spirit of Elijah for the first coming. And William Branham was the forerunner for the second coming. His commission was on the Ohio River in 1933 to forerun the second coming of Christ. That was his commission. And so he said, you will pack a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. Now listen what he says here. And today, before Jesus comes again, the fullness of the manifestation of the person of Jesus Christ is to be manifested in flesh. Now let's read it again. Sounds kind of tricky. And today, before Jesus comes again. Now, is he talking about that body 2,000 years ago? So listen. See? Before he comes again, the fullness, the full manifestation of the person of Jesus Christ is going to be manifested in flesh. That's what's promised today. That God, Christ, is going to come down and manifest himself in flesh before he comes. Is that a play on words? He's telling you he's going to use a different body.
Right.
That's what he's telling you. He's going to use a different body. Before he comes, he's going to manifest the person, the person of Jesus Christ in flesh. He did it in the prophet, and he's doing it in you.
Amen.
Think of it. See? Jesus said, as it was in the days of Sodom, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. When the Son of Man is being revealed. Is that what's happening? That's what's happening. The Son of Man was being revealed in the flesh of a Son of Man. When the Son of Man is being revealed, what is revealed? Unfolded and made known. The secret had been brought forth, revealed. In the day that the Son of Man will be revealed. And the world will be in a Sodom condition. And we've got it, haven't we? Yeah. How many believes that? It's in a Sodom condition. And that's exactly right. Look where it's setting now. And remember, there's always three groups of people. In every bunch of people you gather, there's make-believers, unbelievers, and believers. See? We have them in every group. They've had them all the time. There was the Sodomites, there was the Lotites, and there was Abraham, the elect. See? And Abraham was called out. And he wasn't in Sodom to begin with. And this is what I love this. I love this. He had already been called out. He'd already separated himself. Huh? But where was Lot? Living right down there in the midst of sin. Living down there in the city and all of that. But Abraham was separated. He separated himself.
Right.
Now watch their message. They've been looking for a promised son. Looked for it for years. God had showed Abraham many great signs and wonders. Is that right? Come to him ever so many years. Promise him this, promise him that. Bless him this way, bless him that way. I'm going to make your seed as the sand. I'm going to give your land as the sea of the seashore. All these different promises. Giving him. Bringing him along. Signs and wonders. But here God came down himself like a man. See? You say that was an angel. Abraham called him Lord. Capital L-O-R-D. Any reader of the Bible knows that capital L-O-R-D is Elohim. Huh? Not little L. Capital L. That's right. See? In the beginning, God. Lord God. Elohim. See? The all-sufficient one. Abraham called him Lord God Elohim. That's right. And now notice, there was two people that went down to Sodom with the message. And they preached to the Sodomites, and they didn't perform nothing, but blinded them. Which preaching the gospel does blind the unbeliever. Huh? What does the gospel do? It blinds the unbelievers. And what does it do for the believer? Huh? What does it do? It reveals. It makes known. It opens up. But watch what kind of sign that Abraham group received, see? We're supposed to be the royal seed of Abraham. Isaac was the natural seed, but the faith seed, see? The faith in the promised word, don't miss it now, was the royal seed. And it was the seed, Abraham's faith, see? And we being dead in Christ were Abraham's seed, heirs with him according to the promise. That's right. Well, this will help you decide when to stop when your battery dies. Notice, when all that was taking place down in Sodom, there was two ministers down there preaching that great message. Praise be to God. Okay. All right. If I can finish this message, I'm going to. 242. There was one set up here with Abraham's group that didn't fool with that group down there. Why? They were separated. Huh? One come out of the world. See? Now watch, the one that stayed with Abraham's group, what kind of a sign did he give? Give them, see? You remember, his name was Abram a few days before that. And it's Sarah, not Sarah. See? Princess. And this man, with his back turned to the tent, the women were different then than they are now. They have to get out and get in their husband's business and everything else, you know. But they didn't do it then, see. They stayed back behind. And so them angels sitting there, the messenger, He said, Abraham, where is your wife, Sarah? How did he know? Huh? How did he know that her name had been changed? Because it was God. It was God. Amen. It was the one, same one. See? And Abraham said, she's in the tent behind you. And he said, I'm going to visit you according to the time that I promised you. See, I'm going to visit you. And Sarah kind of laughed. See? And with his back to the tent, he said, why did Sarah laugh? Saying, how can these things be? If she hadn't been in Abraham, his bride at that time. Amen. Are you seeing Christ back there?
Yes, sir.
Just like you did Adam?
Right.
Huh? When he saved his bride? Here, Abraham saving his bride. Why? Because she was a part of him.
Right.
God couldn't go over that. Isn't that
Amen.
Powerful?
Yes, sir.
Isn't that powerful? God couldn't go over that. His son's wife.
Right.
He forfeited a whole human race for his wife. You talk about the scripture saying, love your wife as Christ loved. He forfeited it. Everything for her.
Amen.
Abraham. God couldn't touch her because that was his son's. And she was worthy of it. Is that right? Was she worthy of it? Do you know the Bible says she called him Lord?
Yep.
Huh?
Amen.
We kind of got away from it, haven't we? You know why we got away from it? We got it from the same place that we got this idea about the rapture.
Right.
We got it from the same place that we got this idea about the second coming of Christ.
Yep.
That's right. It's the same thing. The churches have taught us the same things. The problem is, when they come out in the early 1900s and they give the woman the right to vote and they said, we just want to be equal, it was a lie. They didn't want to be equal. They wanted to be over.
Right.
And that's what they've done. The woman has now began to rule the man. She's an influence over the man. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Thank you. I don't want to go home with that chill, that cold. it's just the truth, and we all know it. You know, I'm not saying anything we don't know, but we've got caught up in this thing. We got caught up in it, and we want out. We want men to stand up and be men, and we want our women to humble themselves and be modest and be in subjection to their husbands. Huh?
Amen.
That's what we want.
Amen.
Not because I want it, because he wants it.
Right.
You're not doing it for me. You're not doing it for these. You're doing it for him.
Amen.
Because what he wants.
Amen.
He took John the Baptist for 30 years of suffering.
Right.
And gave him 6 months of ministry. That was rejected at every hand. But he stood solid. And so will you. As a son and daughter of God, you will stand. If you're a man, God is going to push you. If you're weak, God's going to push you till you stand up and be the man of the house. And if you're a woman, God is going to humble you until you come down and till you become that humble little sister that is obedient to her husband and that loves her husband and follows after her husband.
Amen.
If you give me one more amen, I'll stop.
Amen.
Praise God. He's so good to us. Okay, there's actually a couple more quotes. I've already went over, so could I just read a couple more? This is in the same message, so maybe I could just finish this one message. 261, living in this present day, making the Word of God. Are you there, 261? He said, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, for they're dead to the world, alive in Him, and living in this present day, making the word of, that God has used them for, foreordained them, placing their names in this bride book. And when the waters comes upon that seed that's in the heart, it raises up to the bride of Christ. That's right. See, 262. And the Lutherans were under justification. The feet raised it up like that. See? Wesley under sanctification. What it raised it up under that. See? Every day, every age it was raising it up. Every age it was calling them out. Calling them out. See? What did Luther do? He called them out of the Catholic Church. What did Wesley do? He called them out of the Lutheran Church. What did Pentecost do? Called them out of the Wesleyan Church. What is the rapture today? Brother Branham said the rapture today is rapturing out of the seventh church age into the bride age, into the presence of God. Amen. There to live presently, presently sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh man, they put us somewhere else. They put us, and this thing was in such simplicity. It was in such simplicity. But the theologians just took it and they got it all messed up and complicated and made it where the common people couldn't even get it. No, God brought it back down to the common people could get it. He come in this day, He spoke the common people's language. But now, see, the Pentecostals under the arms, huh? What's he talking about? The body, huh? Luther was the feet, see? Coming on down, coming, see? Come forth, had to be Armenian, had to be legalist. And now we come to the head, the capstone. Grace, grace, the capstone cried. The headstone crying what? Grace, grace. Pass from death and creed into a living word of the living God. God's only provided plan for His age, see? His sons in the word age, quickened by the Spirit, like a spark that's lit off of something to make it alive, see? And seated now in heavenly places in present tense, already alive and subject to every promise in the Word. See, what did he say back there? Huh? His sons in the Word age. This is the Word age. This is the bride age. This is the rapturing age. This is the climax age. This is not the Pentecostal age. This is not the church ages. They're finished. They ended when He took the book. When Christ took the book and began to reveal the whole plan of redemption, then it was over then. See? The headstone, 263, the headstone's crying what? Grace, grace. Praise God. Pass from death and creed into the living word of the living God. God's only provided plan for this age. His sons in the word age, quickened by the Spirit. See, it's going down. Seated now in heavenly places in present tense, already alive, subject to every promise. Then what does that do? You being a part of God's gene, a part of the Word, other men a part of God's Word, seated together. What does it do? Listen now. This is a good place to be. Manifest, see, seated together, manifest the entire body of Christ. The entire body. Now, how could it be? Because the last part of the body was the head. The last part of the body was the head. That was the feet way back there. Now it's come to the head, and the head is Christ. And what was the feet? The Word. Huh? What was the legs? The Word. What was the thigh? The Word. What was the chest? The Word. Huh? What was the eyes? The Word. Huh? What's the head? What's the intelligence? The Word. It's all the Word. It's all God. It's all Christ. Always was, always will be. See, because there's no leaven among you, see? Huh? No leaven. That's what he's talking about, Brother Brown. See? No leaven among you, just the Word only, seated in heavenly places in the door where he put his name, Christ Jesus. That's right. See, no leaven among you now. That brings the entire fullness of the Godhead bodily among you. Amen. This day, this hour, it's the fullness of the Godhead bodily once again. You say, that was 2,000 years ago? Yes, it was. But He's here. And now the fullness of the body is here, which is you. They could not be made perfect without you.
Amen.
You had to come and manifest this word, this revelation, this part of Christ.
Yes, sir.
Now is the entirety of it. Luther wasn't. He couldn't be. You weren't born yet. You weren't manifested yet. The seals wasn't broke yet. None of it was revealed yet. But now it is. And now it's the entirety. Now it's the fullness.
Right.
Praise be to God. Couldn't do it in Luther's age. Couldn't do it in Wesley's age. Couldn't do it in the Pentecostal age. But in the day when the Son of Man would be manifested, revealed, brought the churches to gather, see, with the entire deity of God amongst His people. Praise God. Where are you going to worship at? The house of God, seated in present tense. Praise be to God. Let us stand together. Brother Goomba, come. Yes. Praise be to God. I know I kept you, and I don't really feel bad about it today. God bless you. Appreciate you.
You can continue. You didn't say amen. You said, don't say amen, I said, God, stop. That's good. That is good. That was really, really good. That was really good. Let's quit something about his coming. So sometimes we really, there are these ideas that how is he come? Where is he? But now we know that he is in us. This is the body of Christ.
Amen.
They want to see Jesus Christ with a body, maybe with a horse. There might not be horse, but this is the body. This is the body of Christ. Amen. If somebody asks you, where is he? He's here. He's us.
Amen.
He's
Amen.
Us. Not this, but the one.
That's
great. That's great. So I won't keep you. No, it's time is gone. But it's feel good. I don't feel tired. Maybe we can, the other day, Rhonda was telling me, we can even have them in the afternoon sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
In the morning and the afternoons. I don't know about that. I'm not trying to.
Anyway.
But this is good. This is good. And we love this. We want to continue with this. This is great. Thank you very much. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for feeding your children. These things, Lord God, are questions everywhere. And some of them, Lord God, sometimes they touch our hearts, Father. We don't know how to say it. But when you come in front of us, Father, and you put them together, Lord God, and you speak the we've spoken, Lord, we are so thankful to you. Thank you for speaking to us this morning, Lord. Let it be a blessing, Lord, even for those who are listening in everywhere, Lord God. Father, bless the people now is our prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen. Amen.